Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're not at the Silver Slipper tonight due to the weather situation. And want to tell everybody, keep you dialed into the Big 870 WWL. We'll start this coverage early tomorrow morning. That's when the weather starts to come in between 4 to 6 o'clock in the morning. And we'll give you wall-to-wall coverage of what is happening statewide, parish-wide. We'll talk to state, parish officials, city officials on what's happening. If you don't need to be out on the highway, please stay off of it. It is going to be a treacherous situation once the rain event, sleet, snow, ice starts to come down. But I do know that there are people that have to be out on the highway, so just be careful when you're traveling, and even tonight before the weather starts to kick in. And we'll have that coverage all day starting very early tomorrow morning. At 6:30 tonight, we'll go to Pelicans pregame. And at 7 o'clock, the Pels on a three-game winning streak take on the Utah Jazz. And you can hear Graf make the call right here on the Big 870 WWL. Let's go bop to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines. Go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and I hope everyone is getting ready for the snowpocalypse, and that you guys will be safe, too, because I know y'all travel a little bit after this evening's show's over with. You know, guys, it's said that the NFC divisional playoff round features the best football of the year, and I thought that the play of all eight teams in either conference was some of the best I've ever seen. And you know, there are two items that really stood out to me from this weekend's game. First of all, to the folks in Detroit, that was a great story. And, you know, you were really kind of sentimentally rooting for Detroit, especially, you know, in this town with the Saints out of it.
Right.
But, you know, but Detroit ran up against the fact that injuries and turnovers determine who goes on to the big game.
Well, you can't turn over the ball five times, Big John. I mean,
no, you can't do it.
And look at Jared Goff. Jared Goff, oh, we got to get, you know, people will be like a prisoner of the moment. Oh, we need a better quarterback than Jared Goff. Jared Goff has been outstanding for the Lions.
Outstanding all year long.
But not so much this game.
Well, he had a bad game.
I mean,
he was hurt too. I mean, and that's injuries. Yeah, look, Bobby. Your point earlier. The second thing that I wanted to mention is that I understand the stats behind the stats.
Yeah.
And the fact that marquee players are going to sometimes get calls, but you know, the NFL when Washington last went to the Super Bowl is a lot different than the NFL today.
Amen.
And you know, given the current state of technology, the presence of social media, instant information, you know, what I saw happen on Saturday in Kansas City, you know, as well as in Buffalo when the officials failed to apply a very specific rule about pulling a player, this is compromising the game of professional football, in my opinion.
There's too much money involved. They got to get it right. There's too much money involved.
Exactly, yes, exactly.
Especially if you're in bed in the gambling industry.
Yeah.
That's the difference between when the officials used to let Jerry Rice and John Taylor score phantom touchdowns and threw flags on Toy Cook and Dave Waymer for breathing on them the wrong way, okay? It's the presence of sports betting on such a huge scale throughout the country has changed the game. And we could joke with Buddy back in the day on how Vegas influenced this call or that call or something. But you know, with the number of people, the owners, not Roger Goodell, who's not going to do a damn thing, okay?
Right.
But it's the owners need to look a little bit more past the tips of their noses and all the money they're making right now, this moment. And they got to decide once and for all that, first of all, they got to make the NFL officials full-time. I mean, we've been saying that for decades now. And second, remove those officials from the direct oversight of the NFL office. You need to put them independent And then finally, let them devise a method where a review official can immediately advise whether a flag should have been thrown or if a flag that was thrown should be picked up.
And, you know, Big John, exactly like you're saying, and Mike, I mean, I don't know, is it rough in the passer or not, or it's not reviewable? I mean, it's like all of a sudden, I love Pat Mahomes, but he's a drama queen. And he's entitled.
He's milking the system.
Yes, he's milking the system. And sometimes, okay, to me, you need to be able to review that. You know, like we all know what happened to Nola No Call, and that was a one hit wonder. And then, okay, whether it's interference or not. But to me, you got to get it right. There's too much money involved. To me, it's like, okay, they throw the flag rough in the pass. Well, that's not rough in the pass. So what are you talking about? So you look at, or if you missed a call, look with Jared Goff. Now, I'm not saying when you look what occurred that they wouldn't eventually score, but Jared Goff gets jacked up. That is, now you got to get your head on a swivel as a quarterback, but that's a penalty.
It's still illegal.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get those kind of calls right. And you know, what's right is right, is wrong is wrong. And it just seems like the Chiefs.
And it shouldn't matter on your marketability to the rest of the play. You know, look,
amen.
If he wants to do his discount double check and all that other kind of crap on advertising, yeah. Great. I'm all for protecting the product, but you got to protect the guy that's at the bottom of the roster as much as you protect the guy.
Well, and you know, Big John and Mike, you know what I think? The NFL would like nothing better. Because it's never happened before, the Chiefs to three-peat. You might think I'm crazy. The Chiefs, look,
I agree.
You know, they find a way to win. The Chiefs have not been dominant, but did you win or lose the game? You know, like, oh, look what they've actually accomplished this year. You got to give Andy Reid a lot of credit. And you look, they hang in there, but they find a way to win. Now, you might say the calls are going their way. And it just looks shady. That all of a sudden, the NFL will like nothing more than the Chiefs to three-peat because it's never happened. All the past history in the NFL.
And that's all fine and good.
Yeah, right. If it's legit.
All fine and good, but
if it's legit.
Appearance.
Appearance,
not
right.
Not only if it's legit, but it's the appearance of impropriety. We say that all the time in big business. The appearance of impropriety. And the NFL seems to just not have a problem with the appearance of impropriety. And that's going to be a long-term effect on this product.
Guys, I think we've all watched this, but the gambling industry has certainly turned everything more of a stronger focus on it. But, man, for years, weren't people saying, man, Tom Brady, he get every call if you breathe on him hard. The flag comes out. Peyton Manning. Oh, man, he can't hardly go downfield. If he's touched, he goes down. That's a penalty. We saw it in basketball if it was Michael Jordan or if it was Larry Bird or if it was Magic. Certain calls went their way. But now I think under the scrutiny and also social media where you can get an instant replay and you can break it down Zapruder-like, like frame by frame, man, you got to get these calls right. There's kind of cut it here. That's why a Sky Booth official has to be part of the NFL in the future.
Yeah, there's too much money involved, and you got to get it right. And as we go on a break, let me tell you, Big John and Mike and Charlie and everybody, the Houdan Nation, let me tell you, you know what? I don't know how you legislate this. You might say, well, I don't want them necessarily to have those chunk runs, or they might want them to have those chunk runs. Saquon Barkley, if you look at what he's done, now, you don't think he wants to play the Rams? He's the greatest running back in pro football history against the Rams. If you look at what actually occurred, now this is even going back to November, against the Rams, talk about big plays, chunk plays, splash plays. Barkley has touchdown runs of 70 and 72 yards in the regular season. In the postseason, he has touchdown runs of 78 and 62 yards. He finished with 205 yards rushing. You might want to tweak that, or how can maybe not be so favorable to Saquon Barkley. All I know is you got to tackle him. Look at those four runs that he's had against the Rams. In NFL history, I don't know if I've ever witnessed that in two games, regular season, postseason, what Saquon Barkley did to the Rams. That is beyond chunk splash plays. That dictates the outcome of the game.
Bob, if he was playing the Rams twice a year, they'd already be carving his bust for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Thanks so much for the call, Big John. We appreciate it. When we come back, we'll have on with us Dalton Wesserman. Dalton covers the college football game and certainly the national championship game for Pro Football Focus. We'll have Dalton on right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTelio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. He's the co-host of Pro Football Focus College Football Show. He's also Pro Football Focus's data analysis man, Dalton Wesserman. Dalton, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, anytime, anytime. It's going to be a great day to watch a football game tonight, huh?
Yeah, sure enough. Dalton, I thought about this. After Ohio State, you know, they beat Texas, and that was a great game to watch. And then they caught them late. But Manning Passing Academy in July, I'm sitting down talking to Will Howard, and he's explaining to me, you know, the process of how he, you know, transferred from Kansas State to Ohio State. And I said, what's the goal this year? And very bluntly he was, it is national championship or bust for this team. Now, I thought that. I'm surprised he said it, because a lot of times in today's world, man, these guys, they're politically correct. They're not going to go out of their way to tell you something. But Will Howard, he was upfront about, hey, this is a disappointing season if we don't win a national championship. He's got a chance tonight to kind of seal the deal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think he says that because you look at all of the NFL caliber talent on this Ohio State team all over their roster, whether it's a freshman or a senior or anything in between. I think it's reasonable to expect that, right? And I think Will Howard was actually the biggest question mark at the beginning of the season. They brought back a ton of NFL talent on their defense. They brought back weapons. They got two great backs. You have a true freshman freak in Jeremiah Smith at receiver. And Howard was really the key to it all, and especially down the stretch outside of the Michigan game. He's played fantastic all season and honestly made a big improvement from his days at Kansas State, a better drop-back passer than he's ever been, and been a huge key to this run in the postseason, especially using all his weapons at his disposal and reading defenses the right way. So, no, Howard's had a fantastic year, and I think he's absolutely right to think that with as much talent as this team had, that was the idea behind all of those guys that came back that could have went in the draft last year. Coming back this year is that, hey, look, we have enough talent to win a national title, and now there's 60 minutes from doing it.
You know, Dalton, when I look at it, this is kind of old school. You know, defense wins championships. And I thought this was kind of ironic when I read this. The Buckeyes ranked first nationally in points allowed per game, basically giving up 12 points a game. Notre Dame is second, giving up 14 points a game. And four of the past eight national championships led the country in scoring defense. So when you look at that, and both have allowed more than 30-plus points just once this season. So when you think of the defense, now has Notre Dame really faced the explosiveness of Ohio State when they're clicking? But then I look at it's one game. It's not a series, kind of like what you even see in the NFL. The Fighting Irish have a chance if they can win the turnover battle. They're plus 17. Ohio State is plus 5. So who can maybe take it away or protect the football? Then you look at, like I said, scoring defense. So it could come into play and the outcome. Because you know what I don't want? I don't want a blowout. And bear with me here. I'm looking at, you know, the numbers and people who don't have a dog in the hunt. Well, I don't care about the Irish or Ohio State, but I like college football. I like football in general. The games have not been close. You look, the last time games have actually been close was played in Atlanta in 2017, season when Alabama beat Georgia. I remember that game, 26-23 in overtime. And you look, since the past six championship games have been decided by an average of 20 points. That's what I don't want to see. I don't care who wins. I just want it to be a close game down to the wire. And do you think the defense will come into play, like I mentioned earlier? I know it's a long-winded question, but go ahead, Dave. Dalton.
I think if it is going to be a close game, you're going to get that defensive game you're looking at between arguably the two best defenses in the country. I would put Texas in that category too, but that's, I think, the game that Notre Dame especially wants to play, right? I don't know that Notre Dame is capable of getting up into the 30s in this game. They've really been scratching for offense, especially the past two games against Georgia and Penn State, right? And I know they got 27 against Penn State, but the big thing for Notre Dame, when they've been able to score, it's when they've been able to get turnovers. You mentioned it. I believe they have the most takeaways in the country this season. The secondary is fantastic.
Right.
And I think if Notre Dame is going to win this, they're going to have to keep, but both of these teams are going to be under 24 points. I don't see Notre Dame scoring a ton of points, but if they can force turnovers, if they can cover at the elite level in the secondary like they have been all season, they've just been fantastic in the secondary. Even young kids like Leonard Moore, Christian Gray at corner, Xavier Watts at safety. That's when you talk about this game starts turning in Notre Dame's favor and you're getting in a close game, a close defensive game, something like 20-17, 23-20. That's where they prefer it to be. If this game gets up in the 30s, at least especially for Ohio State, I think then Notre Dame has a real problem. But if you get a tight game, it's going to be a very defensive game with, you know, you got NFL-style playmakers on both sides of the ball. So it could turn into that. These are two fantastic defenses that could go back and forth throwing haymakers.
Now, you know, when I look at this, okay, boy, because I think he's a phenom. Jeremiah Smith, you talk about a freshman that's on a different level. But then what happened against Texas? Now, they held him to 3 yards on one catch. Playing, you know, they shaded the coverage to him over the top, you know, in and out bracket-type coverage or short and long. Had an extra defender on him. Now, he was only targeted 3 times. Then he said, I was more of a decoy, but they won 28-14. What do you think, if you had to ask me right now, does Jeremiah Smith have a big game? The reason why I say that, because Notre Dame said they're not changing. They play man-to-man. I think if they play man-to-man with no help with Jeremiah Smith, they're getting burned. I think you got to take more of the Texas approach. You're trying to defend him. But you look top to bottom, Ohio State, they're like 3 deep at wide receiver. So pick your poison. Well, what is your take on that, Dalton?
No, I absolutely agree. I think you said it right when you talked about Notre Dame playing more man coverage than any team in the country. And that's because they're elite at it, right? And I think there's kind of a paradox here where I think there's nobody that sticks to their identity more so than Notre Dame, and it's gotten them this far, right? So I still expect them to go heavy man-to-man. Maybe they mix in some more zone looks because you mentioned Texas. Texas is a heavy, heavy zone team, right? And they adjust their zone windows, you know, based on their game plan every week. And that's exactly what they did to Jeremiah. 2 or 3 guys had their eyeballs on him on every single play, right? They were going to make Ohio State beat them with somebody else. If Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman, if they feel like, listen, we have the best corners in the country, we have the best man coverage in the country, we can cover them one-on-one, maybe Notre Dame is just the only team capable of doing it. Ohio State doesn't see a lot of man coverage because you know they're that talented, right? But I think there is every opportunity for Jeremiah to have a huge game here. Press man coverage against this Notre Dame team that usually doesn't back off of it. It's worked for them so far, but this is their toughest test yet. It's going to be very interesting to see, I think, especially on the first drive or two of this game, how Notre Dame comes out in coverage. Do they stick to their guns and go with a lot of cover one, or do they mix it up a little bit and maybe go with some zone blitzes and some different things maybe that Texas used? Because Texas did do a really nice job of making Ohio State beat them with other players, and Ohio State found a way to do that, and they beat them with their defense, of course.
Dalton, one of the things for Notre Dame to win, you got to have a big game from Riley Leonard. And, you know, he has been a really good, if you want to call it a dual threat guy, because he's made a lot of plays running the football. And for me, Notre Dame's key to victory is, yeah, you got to continue to play really good defense, but Riley Leonard becomes the man. He's the straw that turns the drink for them offensively, and he's got to have a big game, not only as a passer, but also his threat as a runner.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we've seen at least 2 or 3 games this year where, you know, the few times where Notre Dame's running backs didn't exactly explode with production, Riley Leonard's legs are the equalizer, right? And you think about it schematically, you talk about the quarterback run game, you know, by design, it changes the numbers game. And against, you know, different defensive fronts, I think about the Louisville game, the Georgia game, even against Penn State a little bit, they found a way to equalize the numbers and get that hat-on-hat football going because they had Riley Leonard carrying the ball and being involved in the play and then getting your lead you know, lead blockers, the running backs blocking in front of him. You change the numbers, right? I think it's going to be a big factor tonight. I think if they're going to win tonight, he's got to have probably around 15 carries, if not more, because you just need him to be able to grind it down. And he's very hard to tackle. He's really athletic. He's hard to tackle. And that's going to be a big thing. The read option game is going to be big. And I think the design run game, they've got to run it. They've run a lot of design quarterback powers and counters and things like that that change the numbers up front. Because if you walk in there and you just try to, against Ohio State, just try to run traditionally and run your, you know, your base day one run plays against this NFL defensive line, you're going to have an issue. So I think Leonard's legs do play a massive part in this game if Notre Dame's going to consistently move the ball down the field.
Now, Dalton, you know, everyone likes when something occurs for the first time. And you look at it, we're going to have a coach, you know, who would win his first national championship this season. You know, you look at Ryan Day or Marcus Freeman. And you look at Marcus Freeman, a great opportunity, first African-American coach to win a national championship. But somebody, Ryan Day, you might say, well, I can't beat Michigan, but I'm a national champ. So that's interesting what's going to happen there. But you look, Nick Saban retired from Alabama. Then you got Kirby Smart, what he established now at Georgia. Dabo Sweeney at Clemson. You know, Mack Brown, the only active NFL, college football head coaches with national titles. Now, Day has gotten close previously, reaching the college football playoff three times and national championship game once in 5 years. Now, the Fighting Irish has not been in national championship game since 2012 under Coach Kelly. Who's with LSU right now? Who do you think this would mean more to? Would it be Ryan Day or Marcus Freeman? Because, you know, we're always like, oh, this is the first time this ever happened. But I think Ryan Day, all of a sudden, you look at that Ohio State fan base. We didn't beat Michigan. What have you done for me lately against the Michigan Wolverines? They hate Michigan. But I'm a national champion. And then you look at Marcus Freeman, what he's been able to accomplish or would accomplish at Notre Dame, where Brian Kelly said, I have to leave South Bend to be able to win a championship. That's why he came to LSU. Break that down, because that's a lot right there. What's on the line for Ryan Day, Marcus Freeman?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Day. I mean, honestly, I think considering the expectations Ohio State had coming into this season, and obviously another Michigan loss was a massive black eye, right, to Ryan Day's reputation. They've lost four in a row, and it's been a whole big thing. So, you know, any year without a Michigan win and without a national title, you know, in some circles it's considered a failure for Ohio State. So if he was to get this done, at least he would fulfill that part of the expectations, and they could work on the Michigan thing later. Because, yeah, I remember it was probably a month ago where a lot of people in Columbus wanted Ryan Day out of there, and now they've bounced back from that potentially to win a title and get the season-long goal done and get their first national title in 10 years. And I think it's a big weight off of his shoulders. Now, is he still going to want to beat Michigan next season? Absolutely. But I think with their talent base and the talent they have coming in there every year, Ohio State feels like they should be able to build a dynasty with all the talent they consistently have coming through. But Ryan Day has got to win the big games, right? So I think it would be a little bit bigger for him. As far as Freeman goes, I mean, I think they expected to make the playoff this year. I'm not sure they exactly, even with Riley Leonard, expected to win a national title and what it would do for his program. I think win or lose what it's going to do for his program anyway, you know, getting even more elite talent in there, because there's still a couple of weaknesses on this team, you know, roster-wise. If they start getting even more elite talent in there, you could see Notre Dame, especially with the money that they bring in as an independent, you could see them really starting to get in near, at least near this spot every single year in the Final Four or in the Final Eight, right? And they just have to continue to build that talent base. But Marcus Freeman, I think the thing you got to love about him, he knows what he wants this program to look like, and this is really the ideal scenario. He's 60 minutes from a national title win. Either way, they've done it their way to have a clear, defined identity. I don't think that's going away. I think it means a little more today considering the preseason expectations, but it would be huge, obviously, for both programs.
One thing I'll say, Dalton, if Marcus Freeman wins this game tonight, he becomes the superstar head coach in college football. From how quick a job he turned that program, and not that Brian Kelly didn't have some building blocks there, but to take this to a national championship, and the last guy to win it was Lou Holtz, he becomes the superstar coach in college football with a W tonight.
Well, you know, Don, like Mike's saying, he's a double minority. Bobby, what are you talking about? He has a chance to become the first black coach to win a national championship. He's also the first Asian coach to play for the title. His mom's South Korean. So he's a black South Korean. Whoever thought of that? And to be a national champion this day and age? Come on. That could go a long way.
No, absolutely. I mean, it would be monumental. And you mentioned him being the superstar of college football. You're darn right. I mean, especially in a game here where he's a heavy underdog. And you talk about the programs that he's beaten along the way, right? Obviously an upstart Indiana program, but beating Kirby Smart along the way, beating a Penn State team along the way that was kind of considered to be in that same position as Notre Dame. Is like, okay, you're a playoff team, you're a top 10 team, but you're not the number one team in any given year. Now, if you get over that hump and you build that momentum with the talent that Notre Dame can bring in, and as much as they buy into that program, I mean, no, it could really change the course of college football as we know it. You know, Ohio State, we know they're an elite team every year. They're in the Final Four darn near every single season. I don't want to say it would be status quo. It would be a big deal, but we know Ohio State's going to be in this spot a lot or somewhere near it. Notre Dame could really upend the power structure, and Marcus Freeman, we've already, you know, before the Bears just hired Ben Johnson, we heard rumors about them maybe wanting to interview Freeman. You know, you win a national title at Notre Dame, all of a sudden you're a deity up there, right? And you start talking about, boy, they never watch it elite. You could be there forever, and like you mentioned, you'd be a superstar alongside, you know, the Kirby Smarts and Dabo Sweeney's and guys who have won titles, the very few guys remaining who have won titles, because there's still that void from Nick Saban to fill, and maybe Marcus Freeman's young enough that he could fill that at Notre Dame, but getting this first one tonight as a big-time underdog would be huge for him.
Dalton, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and your insights, and I hope it's a close game. I got a feeling it won't be, but I hope it's a close game.
Yes, I just want it to be a close game. I'm like that Georgia-Alabama game. We all remember that in the overtime. Something like that.
That'd be a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys, as always. Enjoy the game.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dalton.
Dalton Wasserman, who does a great job, co-host of the Pro Football Focus College Football Show. You can hear it out on Sirius Radio Network. When we come back, Bobby and I will talk about Mike McCarthy, Aaron Glenn. Looks as those two guys will have some major decisions to be made over the next 72, 96 hours. Right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob, with Ben Johnson taking the job with the Chicago Bears, just technically hadn't signed anything yet. Kind of break it down from your point of view of it's going to come down to one of these two guys. Mike McCarthy, former Dallas Cowboy head coach, and Aaron Glenn, who is going to interview with the Jets officially tomorrow. Looks as though the Saints will try to get him in afterwards. But I think the Jets will try to seal that deal and try to get him to sign tomorrow and get that commitment from Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn's going to have his choice here. But break down from your point of view. Aaron Glenn and Mike McCarthy.
Well, I'll look at Aaron Glenn. He knows what the hell he's doing, and the players can relate to him. You know, he finished his career with the Saints, but that's where he put his hay in the barn, playing for the New York Jets as a player. Now, like I said, the players respect him. The only thing I think most fans in Hoonet Nation, they want to go more on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know, you know, in this day and age, 21st century, in the 2020s, we like more, I guess, offensive coaches than defensive coaches. The bottom line, if you win, you might say, well, Bobby, just signed an outstanding leader of men. It could be a defensive coordinator as the head coach if you got the right offensive coordinator running your offense. But I just look at Aaron Glenn's defenses. They finished near the bottom of the NFL in total defense. This is not an opinion. Now, you might say, well, they've dealt with injuries. Yes, I know that and all that. But Aaron Glenn's defenses have ranked 29th, dead last, 32nd, 19th. And then scoring defenses, they've been one before last, 31st, 28th, and 23rd defensively. Now, in 2024, I think it was an outstanding job what he did. He navigated injuries in some of his best players to lead the NFL's number seven scoring defense. So, yeah, look to Aaron Glenn. I know the players respond to him, but is that enough what we need? Aaron Glenn, look at Dennis Allen. Look at Vic Fangio. He's an outstanding defensive coordinator. Didn't work with Miami, and he worked with, with the Philadelphia Eagles. I look at, like Dennis Allen. My understanding, he might be the defensive coordinator now with the Chicago Bears. I'm telling you, it's going to work out. That doesn't mean you could be a head coach. And I think Aaron Glenn is an outstanding leader of men. But I want more security as far as who's going to be my head coach. Now, the one thing about Aaron Glenn, you look at his background, like a long history with the Saints organization, both as a player in 2008, Sean Payton was the head coach, then an assistant coach from 2016 to 20, and now, like I said, he's been his fourth season as a Lions coordinator, and I talked about the scoring defense, where they finished, so what have you done for me lately, that goes a long way for you know, Aaron Glenn, where he's at. You might say, well, how do you feel firsthand, whether it be a player or a head coach, evaluating a particular coach? All I know, Dan Campbell, we all respect him. And he says about Aaron Glenn, he's as good as a coach as you could find. He's even a better human being. Hoot Dat Nation don't care if you're a better human being. You just got to win. If nobody wants it, I'll take him to run the Lions defense again. I can tell you that right now. But the thought of going through another cycle, if he's not somebody's head coach, that is ridiculous. That is Dan Campbell. Now on to Mike McCarthy. I might be a little late. I got another minute on this. I'm looking at Mike McCarthy. I look at the skins on the wall. Mike McCarthy has won a Super Bowl. They don't give you that. You have to earn it. As the Green Bay head coach, if you look at that, winning a Super Bowl, and then he's now, you look at his Cowboy teams and with the Packers and all that, in five seasons, 84-49. You know, even though that's only 1-3 mark in the playoffs, McCarthy has ties to New Orleans, obviously having spent five seasons as the Saints offensive coordinator from 2000 to 2004. And then you look at a testimonial, and I respect Dak Prescott. This is what he says about Mike McCarthy. I believe in him wholeheartedly. The guys won a Super Bowl. There's not many guys or coaches who have done that. To have him, to have one, that could do it from experience. I know how valuable he's been for me, developing me as a quarterback. I'm going to leave you with this as we go into the break. If I look at short-term and potential long-term, and if I look at Derek Carr being the quarterback, I think that Coach McCarthy brings a lot more stability. Mike McCarthy brings a lot more stability for us to win or have a chance next season and even the next couple of seasons. So that's why right now I would go with Mike McCarthy over an Aaron Glenn, simply because he's been there and done that. But you might say, well, Abe, are you an old dude? You're just for the old cats and all that. No. I'm looking at an offensive coach versus a defensive coach. I think Mike McCarthy, wherever he ends up, because supply and demand, not enough players, not enough quarterbacks, not enough coaches, Mike McCarthy will win. I think he can win with the Saints. What does it mean, will win? I don't know. To get to double-digit wins, can we be like Tampa Bay, get to 10 wins, be 10-7? Doesn't mean you're winning anything, but at least you're in the hunt. That's what I think Mike McCarthy can bring to the table.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 Second Guess Show. When we come back, we'll have on with us Ali Cosell, who covers the NBA and New Orleans Pelicans. 3-game winning streak. Can they make it 4 tonight against the Jazz? We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.